This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Back in 1970, a Presbyterian minister known as Dr. James Kennedy published a resource called Evangelism Explosion. Now, this resource was meant to train people how to share the gospel of Christ with unbelievers. Now, if you've ever looked at this resource, one of the things it does is it encourages you to ask questions, to ask certain questions of unbelievers to get them to think about their need for salvation. Now, one of the questions we're encouraged to ask is this: if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? There's a problem with that question. You see, this question assumes that people actually know what heaven is. Sadly, many people in this country do not believe what the Bible teaches about heaven. For instance, there are some atheists who do not believe there is a God, nor do they believe there is life after death. So according to atheists, when you die, that's it. There is no heaven. Therefore, they teach that you must live as you please now. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and that's the end. And then there are other people who follow the philosophies of Eastern religions. Many of these people usually believe in reincarnation. In other words, they believe that after you die, you come back again and again and again and again as some other life form. And what you come back as depends on how you lived in this life. So if you were a good person, you get to come back as a millionaire or a billionaire. But if you were a bad person, you might come back as a rat or a snake. Still other people think that heaven is merely a state of mind, like a kind of dream. Such people believe that when you die, you turn to dust, never to rise again. But your mind somehow continues to live on for eternity in some limbo somewhere. Well, now you can understand why that question, if you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? That question is not really a good question to ask until you know what a person actually believes about heaven. However, in the Midwest of America, in communities like Jamestown, most people have a basic Christian understanding of what happens after death. Even though there are some exceptions, most people in Jamestown would believe that after death, you either go to be with God in heaven or with the devil in hell. But apart from this basic knowledge, there is still a whole lot of confusion about eternal life. For example, in our second reading from Hebrews, we heard these words: man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. Simply put, at the moment of your death, the very moment, you will either be with God or you will be with the devil. But sadly, many people do not understand this. Many people think that we will remain in some kind of limbo after death until the day of judgment, and then and only then will we find out where we will end up. For instance, people will say, well, doesn't even the Apostles' Creed talk about Christ returning to judge the living and the dead? I guess we won't know where we will end up until then, right? Well, however, what we must understand is that the judgment that will take place on the final day is based on whether or not we have eternal life right now. Listen to Jesus' words from John chapter 3. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Did you hear that? Your eternal destiny is based on whom you trust here and now. So with that understood, we're going to learn from Scripture about eternal life. We're going to learn two things. First, we're going to learn what eternal life is, and then we're going to learn how we get eternal life. So what is eternal life? Many people wrongly think of eternal life as merely a future event. Here's how many people think of eternal life. They will say, well, after you die, your spirit goes to be with God while your body turns to dust in the ground. But then when Jesus returns, he will resurrect your body perfect and glorified. Your spirit will then enter your body again, and then you will live forever with God in the new creation. Now, this way of thinking about eternal life is true. The only problem is that this way of thinking about eternal life is not the whole truth. You see, according to Scripture, eternal life is something that you and I, we believers, have right now. For example, in our gospel reading, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Did you hear that? If you trust in Jesus as your Savior, then you have eternal life right now. You see, what we need to understand is that the most important thing about eternal life is that we love God and we trust His Word. Eternal life simply means that now you are living in a love relationship with your Creator. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, they were supposed to live forever in God's love. But that all changed when they stopped trusting God's Word. That all changed when they no longer loved Him. That's when they lost eternal life. Therefore, as we learned in adult Bible class this morning, the reason we have to face physical death is that we are first and foremost spiritually dead. Of course, there's good news to go along with that. Jesus came to save us from spiritual death and give us eternal life. Now, Jesus accomplished our salvation by His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection. But the salvation He won for us does us no good until it's given to us. You see, we cannot receive this salvation unless Jesus gives us a new heart. That's why Jesus speaks His word to us here and now. He speaks His word that we might be convicted of our sin, repent, and trust in Him for salvation. Jesus uses His word to create in us new hearts so that we can love God and trust His word. Therefore, my friends, eternal life means that Jesus has brought you back into a relationship with the Father. Eternal life means that you now love and trust God. Eternal life means that you want God in your life, right here and now. On the other hand, if you don't have eternal life now, then you're already condemned. If you do not repent of your sin now and trust in Jesus now, then you're already in hell because you're separated from God. And that's how unbelievers will spend all eternity unless Jesus changes their hearts before they die. You see, the Bible teaches that once you die, your eternal destiny is sealed forever based on your relationship with God here and now. With that understood, it's very, very foolish for people who talk about wanting to live forever in heaven, even though they don't want God in their lives now. You see, if you don't love and trust God now, if you don't want anything to do with God now, if you don't want to hear God's word now, if you don't want to worship Him now, then why would you want to spend all eternity with Him? You see, those who will spend eternity in hell will experience what they already have right now. Separation from God. However, the good news is that Jesus speaks His word to us sinners so that He can give us eternal life now. As we heard Jesus say in our gospel reading, He said, "I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live." Here Jesus is not talking about our future physical resurrection. He's talking about our present spiritual resurrection. When Jesus speaks His word to us, He takes us from spiritual death and gives us a new heart of spiritual life. Therefore, if you repent of your sin and you trust in Jesus as your Savior, that's the sign that you have been given eternal life. So if you have eternal life now, if you repent of your sin and trust in Jesus now, then you can look forward to spending eternity with the God who made you and saved you and loves you. As I've told many of you before on other occasions, the greatest thing about living forever is not merely that we get to live forever, because even the people who end up in hell will live forever. No, the greatest thing about eternal life is that we believers get to spend eternity with our one true love, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into whose name we were baptized. And now we're ready for the next part of the sermon. How do we get eternal life? Well, at the end of our gospel reading, Jesus says, "A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." Jesus is saying that on the final day, when people are resurrected, God will divide them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Those who have done good will live forever with God. Those who have done evil will be condemned and live forever apart from Him. Now, some people hear these words of Jesus and wrongly conclude that eternal life is something that you can earn and deserve based on your behavior in this life. The people will say, didn't Jesus Himself teach that those who have done good will rise to live? There's only one problem with that. Didn't we just confess at the beginning of this service that we're not good? Didn't we just admit that we are sinners who struggle with evil desires and deeds every day? If Jesus is saying that only those who have done good will live forever with Him, then none of us have any hope, do we? In fact, Paul seems to say the same thing at the end of our reading from Corinthians. He says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Now, what's going on here? As Lutherans, we constantly stress that we are saved by grace alone, through faith in the work of Christ alone, and that we deserve nothing from God, but that He gives us everything freely by His mercy. But then we hear these words of Jesus and Paul, and it seems as though they're saying that eternal life with God is based on what we do while we're living in the body. However, my friends, this is a good example of taking a few little verses and pulling them entirely out of their context without seeing the entire message of Scripture. You see, when Scripture talks about living a good life or living a bad life, it doesn't mean that if you do enough good things, you'll be worthy of heaven, but if you do too many bad things, you're going to hell. That's not what it means. According to the Bible, to live a good life means that you daily recognize your sin and you trust in Jesus alone for salvation. That's what God sees as a good life. You know, there are many people out there in the world who think they're living a good life and they're not. You know why? Because even though they might be doing a lot of good things, they think that's what's going to get them to heaven. They think they can buy their salvation from God by saying, "Hey God, I know I do certain things that you don't like and I don't really intend to give them up, but look at all these other good things I've done. That covers it, doesn't it? I'm overall a pretty good person, aren't I?" God will say to such a person on the final day, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What does it mean to be a good person while we live in the body? It means to daily come to God with your sin, admitting that you're a good-for-nothing, evil person, deserving only damnation, but that your hope lies in Jesus and all that He has done for you. That's what it means to be a good person, to trust in Jesus. In fact, not only does Jesus forgive our sin, not only does Jesus give us eternal life, but He also transforms our hearts so that we actually start to do good works for the right reasons. You see, even though God wants us to do good things, if we do them from sinful motives, they mean nothing to Him. Instead, He wants us to do good works not because we're trying to bargain with God and earn our salvation. He wants us to do good works because we realize we're already forgiven, we're already saved, we already have eternal life, and now we simply want to live a life of love to give praise to our God who has already saved us. That's why we do good works, because we already have eternal life. For example, in John chapter 15, Jesus says, "If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So all these people who think they're doing good works but don't trust in Jesus, they're not really doing anything as far as God is concerned. Simply put, Jesus is saying that He will produce good works in those who believe in Him. The same Jesus who saves us also does good works through us. And the good works that Jesus does through us, that will be the evidence on the final day that we have already been saved. You see, you already have salvation now through faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul teaches the same thing. If you go to Ephesians chapter 2, listen to what he writes. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Did you hear that? The God who saved you by grace alone and even gave you your faith, this same God produces good works in your life as well. And these good works will be the evidence on the final day that you are already saved here and now through faith in Jesus. So now I ask the question again, how do you get eternal life? The answer is you don't get it. Instead, Jesus gives you eternal life. As Jesus said in our reading, "The Son gives life to whom He has pleased to give it." And my friends, it pleases Jesus to give you eternal life. Jesus' words give us eternal life when we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' words give us eternal life when we read and hear and study Holy Scripture. Jesus' words give us eternal life when in Holy Communion we receive the very body and blood of Christ. So if someone one day were to ask you, if you were to die tonight, would you be sure of going to heaven? Here's how you can answer them. Yes. Yes, indeed, I will go to heaven because Jesus has already saved me by everything He's done for me. I'm now His child and I live for Him. And you know what? I'm looking forward to spending all eternity with Him. My friends, Jesus has given you a new heart. That's why you confess your sin. That's why you trust in God for salvation. That's why you live by faith now. For one day, you will live by sight. One day when Jesus returns in glory and raises you from the dead, you will stand before Him and He will embrace you with His own flesh and blood arms. Then you will live by sight. But until then, we live by faith and we long for the day that He will return for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a few moments, we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace.